Bible, Matthew chapter 7. We are going to speak a little bit tonight about judging and being judged in this world. It's not what you may think that I'm going to speak on the subject of, but it is what we need to hear as Christians of how we judge other people in this world. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 1 and 2, the Lord said, "Judge not, that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you shall be judged. And with what measure you mete, it shall be measured unto you again." This is our warning, for us to be careful in whom we judge. Amen. And how we judge them. The Lord never told us not to judge others, but to judge them rightly. And when we judge others, we need to remember that we need to be careful and always judge in righteousness. And righteousness is essential in a believer's judging others. When the Lord judges us, and we're going to go to Philippians 1 next, and we're going to come back to Matthew 7. When the Lord judges us, the Lord knows everything. He knows there's nothing God doesn't know. Nothing. There's nothing can be hid from Him. He knows everything. So God's judgment is always righteous. Our judgments are not always righteous. Sometimes we're fast to judge. Sometimes we need to slow down and make sure that we're not judging others unrighteously. I hate rumors. But a lot of times people, Christians, and even churches will judge people on rumors. When I first came pastor here almost 19 years ago, it'd be 19 years and a few days, a couple weeks, I told people that I don't listen. I told the church here, I told others out in the world in Texarkana that I don't listen to rumors. I only listen to facts. I don't care what people think about this church or don't think about this church. I don't care what people think about the some of the members of this church and don't like think about some of the members of this church. And I don't care what people think about me. They can judge me as harshly as they want to. Because the only judgment that counts is the Lord's judgment. Amen. And that's because His judgment's in truth and righteousness. And we need to make sure that we always judge others and righteous, and in truth. Our goal as Christians is to make sure we are righteous in every walk of life. Every walk of our life should be in righteous. Everything we do should be in love. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 9, to 11, the Lord said these words through the Apostle Paul to the church of Philippi, "And this I pray, that your love may abound more and more, listen, in the knowledge, and knowledge and all judgment, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that you may approve things that are excellent, that you may be sincere without offense till the day of Christ. Listen, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God. Our walk in life ought to be unto the praise and glory of God through Christ. Everything we do, as Christians, as a church, everything. But it can only be that way if it's in righteousness. It can only be that way if it's in truth. This is the reason we need to know truth before we judge. And make sure what we judge is righteous judgment. I know a lot of people are quick to judge others. And it's sad when they do it. And especially Christians. All we have to do is slow down, make sure what we're judging before we judge it. Before we take sides, before we condemn someone, before we get angry at someone. Sometimes honest things happen. Sometimes things don't happen the way we see them. It tickles me sometimes. People will tell me, let the Lord judge me. Don't you ever judge me. They don't know what they're saying. Because God's going to judge us in righteousness. So whatever it is that you're trying to hide, if there's something, God already knows that. And God's judgment, if I'm judging in righteousness, will not be a lot of difference from mine. Because I judge people by his word. You ever judge someone or said something about someone only to find out that it wasn't true? Well, it's a pie in your face, isn't it? I have. I'm not going to deny it. I have before. That's the reason I try to slow down and judge people. It don't always work. I'm human, like you are, but we try. But I want to move on because I got another point I want to make on that. As children of God, we want to walk carefully, and that careful walk must be in the love that God has given to us by his grace. Therefore, if a Christian believes all that they hear and accept all sorts of claims will not judge well, will they? In other words, if you hear a rumor and you don't know if it's true or not, don't judge it. And most of what we do here is rumor, isn't it? Wait for the facts before you judge. Understand what you're judging. Lord said, remember? He said, judge not that ye be not judged. So if we're going to judge harshly, the Lord's going to judge us harshly, isn't he? Therefore, if Christians believe all that they hear and accept all sorts of claims will not judge well. The example is rumors. They are not always facts and truth. Fifth, we must understand our judgment that we do not need to play God because we're not God. And we don't know all the facts that God knows. When we judge others, we need to make sure we're not falsely judging them. I've heard pastors, Christians, I've even heard a lot of church members say, That fella won't ever be saved. How do they know that? I probably said it myself that time or two. How do I know that? Do we know who God's going to save? No. Well, look at their life. Well, look at the life of Saul of Tarsus. Look at your own life before God saved you. They've been people that were adulterers, people that drank so much, they were alcoholics that were saved. There's no limit to the people or person that God can save except for those that he elected to save. I don't care what their life is. I don't care what they do in life. Don't ever say God can't save somebody or he will not save someone. You don't know. So we don't need to condemn other people, but we all need to consider that God will one day judge us. With the harsh judgment, we judge others. Not for our sins. There's not a Christian alive, not a Christian in history, that God will ever judge for their sins. Not one. Not one Christian, not one sin will God judge us for. And the reason he will not is because Jesus Christ died for our sins. Mm-hmm. But our judgment will be on how we reacted and how we went forward with the Word of God. What are our fruits in life? How is our love for not only church, not only for the Lord, not only for the church, not only for other Christians, but how about those that despitefully use us? And I'm preaching to myself as well as you all. As well as anybody else who hears this. I have this outline on our website already. I put it up there this morning while I finished it. I was up at 5 o'clock this morning working on this outline. So let's go to our second point. Because I do have a lot of notes to get to. Our second point here is our judgment is about other believers and also counterfeit believers. This is also about churches and counterfeit churches. Go down to verse 6 in Matthew 7. The Lord says, give not that which is holy unto dogs, neither cast you your pearls before swine. Lest or that not they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. What's the Lord saying there? We're going to go to 2 Corinthians 4 next. As God's people, that is, as Christians and churches, we are privileged of God to what? Handle the holy things of God, aren't we? We're the church. We are called the body of Christ. We are called an assembly that the Lord God has assembled together. We have a purpose and goal as a church to do for the Lord. Remember when Jesus was here and he written And he sold what was written in the book here, and he said, I came not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. I came to do my Father's will. And his will I will do. Well, that's what we're here for, isn't it? That's when God saved us, to do his will. And his will is what we're going to do. Now, in our judging as Christians and churches, we must always do it in love. And what's the number one goal of the church? The number one goal of the church is to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. We're going to get to that in just a minute. The church has all of these holy things we have of God. This is where the Lord meets with us. This is the place of the spiritual education of all the church. This is where the believers come, the members come to be fed God's word. And not just milk, but also meat of the word. Also the strong doctrine of the word. We have it in our possession. God has gifted it to us. We're not perfect in it, but we have what God has given to us. And it's all holy, isn't it? Every spiritual gift God has given to us is holy. The gospel and the truth of the Bible, we should surrender our lives for it. Surrender our friends for it. Surrender our communities for it. Whatever we should surrender, we should do it for the word of God and the truth. All the Christians that died for the word and for the church throughout the year. So that the church will be the pillar and ground of truth. The true ones to baptize. Not anybody can baptize, the church baptizes. This is the reason we don't accept any baptism from anybody else, except those of black faith. It's in our hands, isn't it? And other things that we are to hold dear to our heart. Holy things of God in our lives. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6 through 7. For God, who commendeth the light to shine in darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God and the face of Jesus Christ. Isn't that beautiful? But we have this treasure in earthly vessels that the excellency of the power of God and not to us. Not of us. Everything we have, God has given it to us for a reason. There's not another denomination in the world, and not even some of them that call themselves Baptists, carries a true gospel to the world. We have it. The Lord Jesus Christ placed it in the church's hands. And what is it? It's how that Christ died. How he was buried and rose again on the third day according to the scriptures. That's it. There's nothing added to it. That's it. So salvation is by grace through faith, not yourselves, it's the gift of God. So all these people, all these congregations that call themselves churches, they're given these altar calls, given these choice and decisions, as though it is our choice or decision, or telling them to pray a prayer or do anything else to be saved. They're adding to the gospel things that don't believe again. We have the truth because we are the truth and pillar ground truth. Third, the Lord commands that we as Christians and churches, in verse 6 of chapter 7 of Matthew, the Lord commands that we as Christians and churches, listen, give not that which is holy unto dogs, neither cast your pearls before swine. Go to Mark 16, if you will. Does that include the gospel? No. No. Look at Mark 16. In verse 15, he said, and he said unto them, go you into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Lord did not limit the gospel to certain creatures. He tells us the truth of the word, those deep meats of the word, is precious to us. Let me ask you this. Think about this in your mind. You don't have to shout it out for me, right? If you had lived back in the day when Saul of Tarsus lived, knowing what you know of him, how deep, how wonderfully deep he was in the Jewish religion, would you even approach him with the gospel of Christ? Probably not. Probably scared to. That'd probably be like approaching the Pope or somebody. You say, well, I'd love to. Would you? Well, we actually would, but we probably wouldn't, would we? But you know what? Jesus told him about the gospel, didn't he? Jesus told him how to be saved, didn't he? And what happened to Saul of Tarsus? He was saved, wasn't he? We do not know the elect of God. So we don't sow seed over here, sow seed over there. And don't say, oh, we can't throw it over there. The Lord said that we are in a very loving way to carry the gospel to the world. Now, he showed us not to give that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast your pearls before swine, but that's not the gospel, is it? The gospel, as we just seen in Mark, goes to every creature. The job of Christians and churches alike is not to judge people, but to get the gospel to them. Because God said he chose by those who preaching the gospel to save them that were lost. If you're in Mark, go over to chapter 4. That's where we're going next. If we discriminate in our giving of the gospel, we're not cheapening, are we not cheapening the gospel? If we're discriminating with it? The gospel's purpose and our work as Christians and churches is to save sinners. There's not a person breathing, living on this earth I would not want to see be saved. I'd be happy to give anyone the gospel. Even our president. It's our job. My job as a minister, as a pastor, And our job as a church, and your job as a Christian, to make sure everybody hears the gospel. I don't care if they hate it. And what their response to it is out of element. But I'll promise you this. You don't know what their response will be. None of us do. Even if you don't like them, our job is to love them and present the gospel to them, not judge them. As sowers of the gospel, why have we decided that certain people are a waste of time to sow seed? Why have we decided that certain communities or nations or anyone is worthless to preach to? We just judged them, didn't we? Did we judge them righteously? No. We don't know that. We don't know that those Muslims over in Iraq, or those Muslims over in Iran, or them Russians over in Russia, or those Chinese over in China won't ever be saved. We don't know that. It don't matter how somebody lives. Might I add that we were all sinners when we were saved? In Mark chapter 4, verse 15 and 16, and these are they by the wayside, where the word is sown. But when they heard, Satan come immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who, when they have heard the word, immediately received it with gladness. See how much judgment hurt? If people are going to be saved, God's going to save them. And God's going to use the gospel to save them. You know, tract ministries are almost non-existent anymore. You never know when someone's going to pick up a newsletter or a Berean Baptist banner, or any other form of getting the gospel out to the world. And read it. And be saved. You just never know. You don't know. So let's go back to verse 6. I told you we would come back there because there's a difference between what the Lord tells us not to do and what the Lord tells us to do with the gospel. But the Lord did tell us, give not that which is holy unto dogs, neither cast your pearls before swine, that not they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. So what does this exactly mean? The holy things is sometimes commonly recognized as sacred things. The word of God is sacred to us, isn't it? Which to us would be a pillar and ground of truth. The meaning of the word, the strong doctrine. This is for us to feed on. This is for us to ponder. This is not something, if we're going to send tracts, we don't send tracts on election, do we? On a Baptist bride or things like that. We send gospel tracts. Lost people don't need to hear about election. Or they don't need to hear about the Baptist bride or the rapture or anything else. They need to hear about the gospel. The Lord told us to carry the gospel to them. If they're lost, they're not going to understand everything else. The Lord says if they're lost, they're not going to be, they're not obligated to serve the word of God. Because they're lost. They don't understand it anyway. How can they serve a law of God if they don't understand what it means? They're not going to understand the gospel either if God doesn't show it to them, but it's still our job to show it to them. So when the Lord's speaking here, he's speaking of the harsh things of the Bible, the strong doctrines. I'm not saying keep it in house. I'm not saying not to ever tell it to other people. But you have to be careful who you tell it to. You know why? It's going to get you in an argument. It's going to cause them to hate you. And that's not what you want if you're trying to tell them about the gospel, is it? So who are dogs? Albert Barnes said this, dogs signify people who spurn, oppose, and abuse that doctrine. People of special sourness and of evil tempers who meet it like a growling and quarrelsome herd. Like a vicious dog coming after you. Which you're going to do if you start talking about election or the other strong meats of the word. What about the swines? We all know what a swine is, don't we? Barnes also had this definition for the swines. He said swines denote those who would trample the precepts underfoot. People who of impurity of life. Those who are corrupt. Polluted, profane, obscene, sensual, those who would not know the value of the gospel and who would tread it down with swines as swines with pearls. He's right. If you ever get into an argument or a debate with somebody on the Bible, you have just lost the fight. See, the fight is not who wins. Because if you make them angry, you're not going to win. If you judge them harshly, judge them wrong, and say, oh, the people over there don't need the gospel, they're never going to be saved. You have just violated the word of God. Go to 2 Peter chapter 2. I'm going to try to finish this. So according to the definition of the scriptures, we are not to offer true doctrine to those violent and abusive people who would bark and curse at it. Our judgment must not be on what we think, but what we know. The gospel is a message to the world. The Lord told us to go into every creature in the world and give them the gospel. But arguing and debate is useless, carrying it to people who hate it. And considers it useless, which is everything else in the Word of God. Second Peter chapter 2, verse 22. But it is happened unto them according to the true proverb. The dog is turned unto his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed unto wallow in their mire. That's what they're going to do. When you argue and debate with these people, they're going to return, the dogs will return to their vomit, and the pigs are going to go wallow in the mud after they're clean. Why is that? That's their nature, isn't it? As long as they're through nature, that's what they're going to do. They have to be changed first. They have to be redeemed before anything else. So we can't judge them and say, oh, they're just stupid, they're ignorant, they just don't get it. Well, we don't get it either if God don't teach it to us, do we? There's a whole lot we don't get. Are we stupid and ignorant? No, we're not, because God has taught us the things he had taught us, and God did it all. Go to Jude, if you will. And I'll finish with this passage of scripture. So let's end this with this conclusion in Jude, or I'm going to make it the conclusion. As Christians and churches, this is our goal in judging people right here. In verse 17 through 21 in Jude, Lord says, but beloved, remember you the words which were spoken before the apostle of our Lord Jesus Christ, how they told you there should be mockers in the last time, who should walk after their own ungodly lust. These be they who separate themselves, essentially, having not the Spirit. That means they're lost. But ye, beloved, build up yourself on the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. If people don't get it, they don't get it. But let's not judge people the wrong way. Even if you've carried the gospel, it's just like our forgiving of people. The Lord tells us to just keep forgiving. Never say, oh, I carried the gospel over there. Them people don't want to hear it. They won't have it. Then we carry it again. And we carry it again. And we can't care and we can't forgive. We can't send anything over there. So if you take a tract or take a newsletter or take a paper or take something to an office or to a place of business or somewhere and they'll let you lay it down. I've heard stories of pretty weird, strange ways that the gospel has reached. Pretty weird. Almost unbelievable. But they're telling me. I had to assume that they're telling me the truth. And people just minding their own business, all of a sudden they read something, they see something, they hear something. And the Holy Spirit uses that to save their soul. They may never do it. They may hate you for it. They may hate the Word of God. I had someone on Facebook the other day call me God boy. I took a little offense to it. I don't like to be called God boy. First of all, I'm a 65-year-old man. I like to be called a boy to start with. But it's okay. I guess I am a God boy. I deleted their message because I don't let people like that comment on my Facebook. I delete them and block them. But that means they hated me for what I said. Basically, what I was talking about is Jesus Christ is coming back, and this world is going to pay account to God. And they are. But see, that wasn't the gospel. It's better to put the gospel out there, because that's what God uses to save sinners. God bless you. I hope you have a wonderful day.